Today, when most people want to hear the news, they're interested in hearing the dirt. We hear dirt about politicians, movie stars, and a host of other people. And unfortunately, people are also interested in the dirt when it comes to fellow Christians in the church. In the church, social, and family circles, you can hear all sorts of explanations as to what is wrong with the church. And often, disgruntled members have some charge to make against the church. And unfortunately, in some cases, these charges are true. We know that the church is made up of humans who are subject to mistake, errors, and wrong. And although the Lord's church is perfect in all that God is planned and all that God is doing, the church being composed of human beings never measures up to this divine standard. We often before, and sadly will often again, be forced to speak out concerning problems that come with men and women who fail to follow the will of God. And although there are some real and substantial problems about the church, I want you to know tonight that there are some good things. And just for tonight, I'd like to consider some good news. Wouldn't it be wonderful for people to sit around and to hear people sitting around talking about what's right with the church? So let's talk about that for just a few minutes tonight. First of all, we see that the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a people who are called out and who are set apart for God. And even though Jesus extends an invitation for everyone to follow him, not everyone is going to respond to that invitation. Some will, but of course, many will not. Those who respond are the ones who are set apart and those who don't. The Apostle Peter described the people of the church as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, 1 Peter 2, verse 9. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was called out from the other nations to be God's people, and they, of course, had a very special place in God's heart, and they had a very special role to fulfill in God's plan. And now, you see, that privilege belongs to those of us who are in the church. It includes those who submit to Jesus, those who obey his teachings. It includes those who do not follow the ways of this world. God wants those who follow him to live in a certain way. He wants them to be easily identified. He wants them to let the light of Jesus Christ shine through their lives in order to make an impact upon a spiritually darkened world. Yes, those who make up the church are those who are set apart. They are set apart for God's purposes. They give up their own interests and their own desires in order to be God's representatives upon this earth. They are called out from those people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and I'll tell you, I believe that that's something that is right with the church. The church also respects the Bible. Respecting the Bible, of course, is a right thing to do. Anyone who does so is right. But doing what is right is not always an easy thing to do. Many people have lauded the Bible without ever respecting it in any way. It has been extolled, it has been admired, it has been honored, and it has been praised, but often you see the Bible is not respected. Respect for the Bible involves two things. First of all, it involves hearing, and then it involves obeying. Hearing the Bible means hearing it for what it is, and that, of course, is the Word of God. The Bible is not on par with other writings of similar character or nature. You see, the Bible always stands out above all others because the Bible is the Word of God. God expects to be heard because he expressed himself to be heard. Respecting the Word demands that it be heard because God has spoken. Listen now to Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he had made the world. Now the second criteria for respecting the Bible is obeying. God's people have always been defined by respect for the Word, by hearing it, and by also obeying it. Because of Israel's failure to obey God, they were prevented from entering into the promised land. And that principle is no different under the new covenant today. God's people are defined by their respect for his Word. John 8, verse 31 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Respecting the Bible means hearing it as the very promises and rendering obedience to it in every way. If anything is to be said about the heritage of the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, respecting the Bible is something that has to be at the forefront. You see, where the Bible is respected, the Lord's church is, and where the Lord's church is, the Bible is, and it is respected, And the church respects the Bible, and I believe that's something that is right about the church. The church also withstands the devil. Many so-called religious people are making evil a part of their lives rather than withstanding it. The prophet Isaiah speaks of those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who puts bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, Isaiah 5, verse 20. The church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ stands firmly against the devil and never will any way condone evil. And what a great privilege it is to be a member of such an organization. Because you see, as each and every one of us go through our lives, we need help in confronting evil, and that certainly is what the church can do. Throughout the ages, the church has been strong in every way about preaching against sin. And if she ceases to do so, she will become a useless organization. The church must make people aware of the devices that Satan has. And the church must make people and point out to them how Satan works in every way. Those who preach the gospel must put people on alert. And if they justify the sins of members, then they defeat the purpose for which they're called. Paul made sure that he declared the whole counsel of God to the Ephesian elders so that they could shepherd the church of God. And having brethren confront the constant temptations that they face is a powerful and important work of the church. The church should be a place where people lovingly listen to the problems that people face and where they are taught to overcome these problems. What else in the world will withstand Satan if it is not the church? Only the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, preaching the pure word of God and living the life of Christ before the people, will withstand Satan. What's right with the church? It withstands evil and Satan, and I'm happy to be a member of such a body. The church also is still the glorious body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, despite predictions of gloom and despair. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. David said of Zion long ago, glorious things of thee are spoken, O city of God. Now David, of course, was referring to Zion of old, yet I think we can say the same thing about spiritual Zion today. Over the years, there have been some who have predicted the demise of the church. And I think we all realize that we have lost some congregations due to apostasy, although we've added some too. There is no doubt that the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is facing a crisis today. However, it is not the first crisis, neither will it be the last, if the Lord sees fit to allow this world to continue on. Some congregations have fallen, and perhaps more will fall. Some members of the church have done the exact same thing. And this is what Paul and others warned about in the first century, when they pointed out the coming of great apostasy. Paul spoke of the departure from the faith in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Listen now to what he says. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. He also warned that men would tire of sound doctrine and would want to hear something else in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. Peter spoke of false teachers who will bring in damnable heresies, and that many shall follow their pernicious ways, 2 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2. The Lord had waiting faith in mind when looking for his return, and he asked this question, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Luke 18, verse 8. Our Lord and the apostles were warning us that the church may be smaller than in the earlier time due to falling away. There cannot be a great apostasy and the church still grow in number. There cannot be all the weaknesses associated with departures from the faith and great spiritual or numerical strength at the same time. And perhaps we should prepare for a smaller brotherhood. But I think when the apostasy has run its course, we will have a more faithful brotherhood, one that loves God, one that loves the truth, and one still holding hold to and preaching exactly what we believed, what we preached at Pentecost AD 33. You see, she will still be the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. She will still be charged with making known to lost men the manifold wisdom of God. Ephesians 3, verse 10. To the intent that now the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. She will still be the glorious body of Jesus Christ, maintaining the New Testament marks for the church in name, in organization, in work, in plan of salvation taught, and also in form of New Testament worship. Have some congregations left us? Have some members left us? Yes, and we are saddened by their departure. Will those who are traveling have to do more careful advance planning as to where they will stop for worship? Yes, they may have to, but still, if worship is important, and it is, the planning will be worth it. Just remember, though, today that all is not gloom and doom. For those who predicted our demise, I have some news for you. We are still the glorious church of Jesus Christ, and we are still here. No organization, company, family, or team is perfect because they are made up of imperfect human beings. And the same is true of the church here on this earth. There are people in the church who don't live as they should. There are those who teach false doctrine. And there are other problems that exist. Well, tonight I've talked to you about some things that are right with the church. And tonight I want to tell you something that could be right about the church. Something that can be right about the church is you and me. We can live our lives in a way that people can find absolutely no cause to criticize the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can live our lives so that people will say, that person is a good person. That person is a member of the church of Christ. And therefore, there must be something right about the church. I love that grand old song that Timothy Dwight wrote, I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord. Sometimes when we sing that song, we say, oh, that's just another old song. Perhaps we might even say, why is he leading that song today? But I want you to listen carefully to the words of this song. He says, I love thy kingdom, Lord, the house of thine abode, the church our blessed Redeemer saved with his own precious blood. I love thy church, O God, her walls before thee stand, dear as the apple of thine eye, and graven on thy hands. Now listen now to this right here, people. This is important. He says, for her thy tears shall fall. Have you ever shed any tears about the church? For her thy tears shall fall. For her by prayers of sin. People, do you say any prayers about the church? Do your children hear you praying about the church? Or do they only hear you say bad things about the church? He says, to her by cries and toils be given, till toils and cares shall end. You know what he's saying right there? He's saying, I'm going to work for the church until I can't work anymore. Do you work for the church tonight? And then he says, beyond my highest joy, I prize her heavenly ways, her sweet communion, solemn vows, her hymns of love and praise. People, if you'll take that song and you'll put it in your heart, and when you sing it, you mean it every time, you'll be something that's right about the church. Well, tonight, if you're here and you've not obeyed the gospel, you're not a member of this wonderful and this great institution that I mentioned to you tonight. We would love to have you to become a member of the church. Jesus wants you to come. And what a wonderful privilege it is. What a great thing it is to be a member of such a great body. A body of people that will share their joys with you. Who will help you in your heartaches and in your troubles. A body of people that will take care of you in every way. What a wonderful thing it is to be a member of such an organization. And you can do that by believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your wrongs, confessing his name, and then being baptized for remission of sins. And then you'll be on your way to being something that's right about the church. If you strayed and you find yourself away from the shepherd and bishop of your soul, we invite you to come while we stand and sing the song selected.